And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
Deadline week in the NHL is here, and the LA Kings finally make a coaching change. Hello and welcome to another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 19, a waiver wire edition. Nick Alberga, Jake Hahn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen. What's going on, Jake?
Not too much, Nick. Happy to be here. Excited for this week. And to coin my favorite co-host, Nick Alberga, someone make a trade. Let's get this thing going. Should be a really exciting week to follow fantasy hockey and just hockey in general going up to the deadline on Friday.
Amen to that. There really is a holding pattern, but means I expect some big-time moves. I can't remember a deadline where it featured this many perennial centers available. Usually it's like window dressing, wingers, or defensemen. But we got some really good players available this year, don't we?
Yeah, we really do. And, you know, we've said it a couple times in the show, the contenders across the league, they do need something else, like a second line center. So we've tossed out Vincent Trocheck's name, Nazem Kadri. There's a lot of reports. Robert Thomas, who returned to the Blues lineup last night, picked up an assist. And the Blues are a really interesting team, in my opinion, because it's been a disaster of a season. But they do have some nice pieces on that squad, whether it's Jordan Kyrou, Robert Thomas, Justin Falk could certainly help somebody out on the blue line. But Jake, there certainly are a lot of centers that are available. And I hope that we do see a few moves here in the next couple of days.
I mean, Nick, if we did see Robert Thomas get moved, that would be a piece I'd be very interested in. Now, I still find it a little hard to believe that St. Louis would part with him, but if they want to tear this thing down that far, they'd be within their rights to do so. They got guys like Snuggerud, Dvorsky, maybe they build around the younger players, but if a player like Robert Thomas becomes available, that would be a huge piece for a contending team to maybe push them over the edge. Not only a second-line center, but a first-line center in a guy like Robert Thomas. And Nick, I ask you, obviously the big news over the course of the weekend, why did the Kings wait until March to fire Jim Hiller? Why are we talking about this now? This feels like a move that should have happened a couple months ago, right?
My rebuttal, 10-2-1. That is what the Columbus Blue Jackets are under Rick Bowness. I have no clue. I have no answer for you. And on top of that, why would you name DJ Smith the replacement? Like, we all think Pete DeBoer could be the territory this team goes to in the summer, but why wait this long where you're almost at a point where you're trying to save your season? I don't know if they're going to get there. I think this team's in trouble. They make the Panarin deal, but the injuries are mounting, like Kuzmenko the latest, Doughty banged up. We know Fiala from the Olympics means, but it's just an interesting time. I think it was a mercy pull kind of thing where it's like they had no choice but to move on from Jim Hiller, right?
Yeah, and I'm with you. I'm kind of surprised they didn't bring anybody else in. So what's really going to change? I think, you know, you have to look at the front office, and they didn't really put this team in a situation to have success, right? They didn't do a whole lot at the blue line on the blue line this year. They have had some injuries. The offense has dried up, but I look right now, they're 3 points back. You know, they're fighting with Utah and Nashville. They have two games against Utah coming up. They have two games against Nashville after tonight against the Avs, which of course is a tough spot against the best team in the league. They play 9 straight against Eastern Conference teams. You have the Devils, the Rangers, the Flyers mixed in there. And then they wrap up against, you know, Vancouver and Calgary. They have the Canucks 3 times. They have the Flames twice. There's not a lot of teams in the West right now that are impressing me, Jake. This is a top-heavy conference. So I think that maybe they can squeak in, but I don't feel like this is a team that's going to go on a run, and I'm going to feel good about them, even if they get into the playoffs.
Nick, they've kind of been bad all year, really, right? And maybe you point to Jim Hiller and say that was a huge reason for it. I think you could also look at the roster and just say maybe this team isn't all that good, and the Pacific Division's kind of waited around for them all season. I'm curious if you think anybody, maybe the whole team just gets a bit of a bump. We always talk about the classic coaching bump. Obviously, it worked in Columbus. They went on that great win streak after they made the coaching change. Basically, every player in the lineup, even some of the depth guys, got a bump. So are we looking towards that? Meany points out the schedule, maybe some favorable matchups coming up. I don't know if I'm in on the Kings long-term, Nick, but maybe short-term we can get a little bit of value here heading to fantasy playoffs.
Well, firstly, I don't know if you guys have heard yet. I'm rebranding. Someone make a save because that can apply to the Los Angeles Kings. As somebody texted me last week, you're not winning anything with Alex Laferriere as your number one C, and that's why 48-year-old Andre Kopitar is the one C right now, playing with Panarin and Kempe. So to answer your question, means the three guys I'm looking at, Kempe because he's centering – or excuse me, Kopitar, because he's centering Kempe and Panarin, Quinton Byfield, and Brandt Clark. Those are my three guys that could benefit greatly from this coaching change. Again, to your point, I don't know how much of a boost that's going to give this team going from a guy who's on the bench who's now promoting him to the head coaching job. But usually there's like a new coach bump, regardless of who it is. And maybe there's a short-term afterburner here of this coaching change in Los Angeles.
Yeah, those are the guys. And it'll be interesting to see what Smith does, because Alex Laferriere had an opportunity over the past couple games to play with Panarin and to play with Kempe, right? 25 shot attempts in three games. He scored the game-winning goal in the Kings' last game. He had seven shots. Byfield has kind of turned the corner a little bit, playing on that first power play, four goals in his last seven. And now we're going to give some love to Brent Clark when we talk to Petey in terms of the fantasy hockey waiver wire. He's been a top 40 defenseman in leagues with shots and blocks. You know, give him an opportunity to play more minutes, play on that power play. And also, Jake, they may be aggressive too, like making a move and getting somebody. You know, when they flipped Deneau, there was reports that they wanted to get another center. I know they're potentially in on Patrick Laine. What's he going to really do for that team offensively? They need a lot, but ultimately those are some guys that we can look at, and Jake, the schedule is favorable moving forward.
Well, and Nick, we can knock them for being aggressive and say, what are you doing? Like, you're just basically making moves to try to plug holes in a boat that's basically falling apart at this point, right? And the water's leaking out of the boat and they just continue to throw trades on it. We can disagree with that, but I feel like that might be the game plan for the Kings. It just, at this point, you've gone this far, you've got some older players on the roster, and they might try to push this thing forward. I am going to buy in the short term on LA, because I do believe in the coaching bump, and I do believe Jim Hiller was the wrong coach for this team, even going back to last year.
Yeah.
And I felt like this was a move that they should have made a couple months ago. I feel like they probably waited too long on this, but I guess better late than never, that old classic saying. I'd rather them do it now. Let the new coach work with the players, see if you could salvage something out of this season, because they are still only a few points out of a playoff spot.
Nick, it looks like four teams fighting for that final wild card spot in the West. We'll say Utah's in. I'm going to just say they're in. You can disagree if you want, but I think Utah's in. Yes. A tough loss against the Blackhawks, by the way, but I think they're in. Seattle, San Jose, Nashville, LA. Pick one, because one of the four is making it.
I like San Jose, guys. The more and more I watch that team, I'm like, wow, they just don't lose. And wow, Celebrini is just out of this world. So I'm going to go with the San Jose Sharks. I was just going to add, like, Andre Kopitar, three games so far, three assists, eight shots on goal. And then Los Angeles has Colorado, the Islanders, and the Montreal Canadiens this week. Like, it does not get any easier. And speaking of the Islanders, Jake, Matthew Schaefer, my goodness, I've run out of superlatives to sort of describe how I feel about him. Again, you think back to the Olympics, Matthew Schaefer, what he could have done for the Canadiens. Although I'm not changing anything. They lost in 3-on-3. They heavily outplayed the Americans, but I digress. What a franchise-changing player. And imagine from a fantasy perspective, Pete, why are you laughing? Why are you smiling? It's truth. I'm sorry. 3-on-3, that decided Olympic gold. It's just amazing what fantasy owners must feel drafting Matthew Schaefer when they did. Like, he was almost an afterthought. You pick him up, he's one of the top defensemen in fantasy hockey this season, plain and simple.
I don't think anybody that took a flyer on him late could have expected what we were getting. Even, like, you could victory lap and say, I drafted Schaefer in the whatever round it might have been, probably towards the end of your draft, and you should victory lap, and you're probably feeling really good in your fantasy league if you got a defenseman like this at that point in your draft. But, meaning, I don't think any of us could have expected what he's doing. And Nick uses the word franchise changer. I think that's the perfect word here. And we have seen a couple of these players come into the league the last 2 years. Macklin Celebrini last year with San Jose. I think he's completely altered the future of that franchise, and they're going to continue on that upward trend. And I think Matt Schaefer has completely altered what the New York Islanders are. And the Islanders already had some decent veteran pieces, guys like Barzal, guys like Horvat. So you're seeing the instant success that maybe you weren't seeing in San Jose, because Schaefer does have some players to play with. I know they're not loaded, but this Islanders team could quietly be dangerous sneaking into the playoffs on a Metro side that, outside of Carolina, I think is still pretty gettable for someone to go on a run.
Absolutely, and they have arguably the best goalie in the league in Sorokin. But yeah, Schaefer is absolutely fantastic. On average, he was drafted in the 15th round. We had him as our top rookie defenseman. We could never imagine him being a top 10 fantasy defenseman, is where he's kind of stayed in our rankings. And looking forward from a dynasty standpoint, you're looking at 25 and under. He's number one. You know, ahead of guys like Jake Sanderson and Lane Hudson. He's a shooter. He logs all kinds of ice time. And he's 18 years old, which is the craziest part out of all this. And he's an absolute edge stat stud, the way that he skates up and down the ice. So yeah, the Islanders, they got a franchise player in Matthew Schaefer. He's going to be fun to watch for, you know, the next few 20 years.
Oh, it's going to be something special. And I think for me specifically, I still have the stench, if you will, of Lou Lamoriello being the GM of this team. And you have to sort of shift your focus that it's Matthew Darche now. And I don't think we're going to see as many Islanders-esque moves over the next couple days, but I wonder if this expedites the rebuild just a bit. When you have a chance, you're in the playoffs, you have another year of Sorokin, obviously, and him being a Vezina contender, and maybe, you know, it entices you to go out and get another piece. I know they got Palat, but I'm curious to see what the Islanders do over the next couple days. Meantime, speaking of which, Jake, in Dallas, so Tyler Seguin shut down for the year, and it's like our pretty much our first look at like an LTIR move that's different from a couple years back, where they can use that money. And we talked off the top about guys who are potentially available. I expect Dallas to be very, very busy. That'd be cool if Plano's own Blake Coleman goes home. But who do you think is a good fit for the Dallas Stars here?
I think Coleman would be a good fit. I think he fits the way that Dallas likes to play, a versatile Swiss Army knife type player that you can move around the lineup. So I think that would make a lot of sense, because Dallas does like to juggle their lines a little bit, mix and match players, and they are a very deep offensive team when they have everybody healthy, when Mikko Rantanen is back in there. Meaning, I would expect them to get aggressive, because just look at who they're competing with in the Central Division. Yeah. You almost have to get aggressive at this point. Colorado is a beast. We know that. You could argue, you know, maybe did they have their peak? I think they could still get back to it before the playoffs. I'd expect them to do something before the deadline. And Minnesota has already been as aggressive as you're going to get. So I don't want to say Dallas needs to get in some sort of arms race with these teams, but they've shown in the past that they're not afraid to make moves at the deadline. And why would this year be any different, especially having to compete with those teams?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And the Avs freed up a little bit of cap space in the Samuel Girard trade, so you feel like they're going to add a piece or two. And we see Minnesota, and I don't think that the Wild are done, right? We talked about them last week. Billy Guerin made that move for Quinn Hughes, feeling pretty good after the Olympic gold. And I think they're like one center away from being an absolute legit Stanley Cup contender, and still got a pretty good number on them. But for Dallas, I think they're fine offensively. I know it's Seguin who's out, Nick, and you kind of want to replace him up and down the lineup. But at full health, you know, they rock Matt Duchene on their third line. You know, they've been juggling Wyatt Johnson, and they got Rupe Hintz. They got, you know, they're pretty loaded down the middle of the ice. They can go head to head with any team in the NHL. So if they can get a Blake Coleman who can help them out special teams, whether that's killing penalties, a good 5-on-5 player, or maybe on the back end, like a defenseman like Justin Falk, potentially to add to the second pair, that would be huge. That would be beneficial for them. But, you know, Jason Robertson's an RFA. I don't think he's going anywhere this year. There's a lot of reports that maybe just flip him. Their window is open. They're looking to add. Maybe that's a move that they look at in the offseason.
There's a weird holding pattern right now, specifically. I'm just curious to see who takes that first strike. I know the Quinn Hughes deal was big, but who takes the first strike, Jake, here in the Central Division? Colorado, Minnesota, Dallas. And we talked off the top about centers. I think we could see two or three of those guys end up in the Central Division here.
Well, Colorado obviously made the move with bringing in Brock Nelson, and I think with how successful he's been there, maybe that quiets the conversation, at least for them. But you're always looking to add more, and I feel like if you put your team in this kind of position, you owe it to yourself to do something. Now, you could always make the argument, we're already good. We don't need to mess with the chemistry of the team. Maybe you go with more of these depth adds instead of bringing in a top six player or a top pairing defenseman, where it just throws off the whole chemistry of the team and bumps everybody down in the lineup. So you could maybe see some of those moves with a team like Colorado, but means I think Dallas gets aggressive. And Bill Guerin has basically stated it without stating it, that he's still going to be very aggressive here towards the deadline. He's had himself quite the year, winning a gold medal, locking up Kaprizov, signing or trading for Quinn Hughes. I don't think Billy G is done yet, and I really like how that Minnesota Wild team is trending here, heading towards the playoffs.
Yeah, there's a couple other teams, I think, in the West that we can put in the conversation. Like, again, it's top-heavy. The Oilers, the Vegas Golden Knights, I know they made their move for Rasmus Anderson. Mark Stone went down yesterday. Vegas has not looked good at all for the last 2 or 3 months. They cannot get a save. You're talking about, you know, Nick, get a save. It's not just the Kings. There's a lot of teams, and Vegas is one right now. Aiden Hill has not looked good since he's returned. Kira Schmid also can't make a save for them as well. And the Edmonton Oilers are kind of in the same situation. I think they made their move. I don't think that they're going to make another move in net. But, you know, Andrew Mangiapane on, you know, placed on waivers. So this is a team that's probably trying to free up some cap space to also bolster, you know, maybe they're bottom six.
Yeah, the West is very interesting to me. Outside of those three teams in the Central Division, I don't know how much faith I have in the Pacific right now. Although Vegas on paper, but where's Carter Hart? All three of those guys have just been dreadful throughout this season for Vegas. So we'll see what that team does. Let's move on to week 19, Jake. Here is the schedule. March 2nd to 8th. Keep into account some fantasy deadlines are finished. Some still have it going either this week or next week. You got your playoffs starting up soon. It's a busy time in the fantasy world. 55 games. You speak about busy. It's a busy slate this week. 6 on Monday, 11 Tuesday, 5 Wednesday, 8 Thursday, 7 Friday, 11 Saturday, 7 on Sunday. So really good scatter this week. 4-game teams, Anaheim, Boston, Buffalo, Carolina, Colorado, Columbus, Dallas, Detroit, Nashville, Jersey, Pittsburgh, Tampa, Toronto, Vancouver, Vegas, total of 15. The 2-game teams, you just have Washington, so stay away from waiver ads from the Capitals here, Jake.
Like you said, stay away from the Caps, but basically everybody else is fair game this week. It's going to be a fun, fun week to either watch hockey. Like last week, we got back on Wednesday. We had a few days. It was a little bit of a broken up schedule because of the Olympics. This is a real fantasy week. We've got games every day. It's a nice balance leading up to fantasy playoffs, trade deadline as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun for a hockey fan. You mentioned Anaheim there. Meanie, this is a team I've always had a lot of interest in. I think they had their dip, and now we're seeing them rise again. 5-game winning streak for the Ducks. They've come out of the break hot. Leo Carlson's back in the lineup as well. Maybe look at a Chris Kreider, who I have seen dropped in quite a few leagues. Yeah. I think he's trending back up, and you could look at anybody really in that top six. I think the Ducks quietly could just leap up and win the Pacific Division, especially with everybody else struggling right now.
They're 1 point back. Remember we were talking about them in November and they were leading the division, and it's like, wow, 28-1. Are they actually going to win this thing? Well, it's March now. And teams inside their division are completely struggling, and they have that youth that you alluded to. So yeah, Chris Kreider, even Mason McTavish is available in leagues. You know, Troy Terry's out of the lineup. He's dropped. He's going to get back in and play a role probably inside the top six. When and Mikael Granlund as well, when they're healthy, they have three lines that could actually score. But this is a jam-packed schedule, as you guys just mentioned. And I think everybody needs a save. There's a lot of back-to-backs. We have the NHL cheat sheet over at nhl.com/fantasy. I don't think I'd ever say this, but the Buffalo Sabres goalie tandem may be one of the better ones to consider. Only the Avs have more regulation wins this season than the Sabres. Alex Lyon, UPL. There's a back-to-back in there for the Sabres. For the Stars, Casey DeSmith, Jakub Dobish for the Canadiens, Dave Riddick for the Islanders. So there's a lot of back-to-backs. If you're struggling for a save, that may be the way to go, Nick. Just try to grab a goalie on the second half of a back-to-back.
Still marveled at the story that is the Buffalo Sabres, and I feel so good for that fan base. And, of course, Pete Jensen, nhl.com/fantasy. Pete, let's start with the LA Kings, a big coaching change. You got a king on your list this week.
I do, Brent Clark, and the main reason why is that he has not been playing mostly on the first power play, and I think that it's a chance for him to, you know, he has 7 goals this year, he has 7 multi-point games, and he has 8 games with at least 4 shots. So that shows me that he has a high ceiling. And also some of the underlying metrics that Meany was mentioning about Alex Laferriere, even if he shifts back to the wing or plays some center, I feel like he's like waiting to pop off here. He's actually the only player in the entire NHL this season with 10 plus goals, 140 plus hits, and 140 plus shots on goal. That's rare air, and he has room to take it a step further here under the new coach.
Petey, one of the big stories we talked about last week was Sidney Crosby going down for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Looks like he's going to miss about a month, so a significant amount of time for Sidney Crosby. And we asked the question, what does this mean for Pittsburgh? Are they going to completely fall apart? I argued that there's a little bit of magic in this Penguins team, and look how they've played the last couple of games without Sid. Is it sustainable? We're going to find out, but you've got a couple Penguins on your list here that can help out fantasy owners that are maybe getting a little bit of a bump up in playing time.
Who would have thought with Sidney Crosby out for 4 weeks at least that we would have 3 of the 10 players on this list from the Pittsburgh Penguins? But that's where we stand. The goaltending tandem of Stuart Skinner and Arthur Seelovs. I mean, Seelovs has been really good. His past 5 games, 9.29, 4-1. He's second among rookies in shutouts with 2, fourth among rookies in wins with 13 in 28 games. And he's a guy, as these games become more meaningful, he's had a lot of playoff experience. He led Vancouver's AHL team near the top of that league. A couple years ago, remember, he got those spot starts in the playoffs for the Canucks and fared really well. He's a big game player. And then you look at some of the depth. I mean, we've talked about Chinakov. Since January 1st, when he made his Penguins debut, he leads the entire Penguins roster with 10 goals in like 20-something games. I mean, he's the real deal, and he's getting his opportunity and running with it.
I don't understand why his ownership is 8%. I mean, I'm looking at the back of the hockey card here. He's hit the score sheet in 9 of his past 11 games. He's plus money for 3 shots every night. He's doing that pretty easily. Guys, like, he's an immediate pickup. Another guy that's sub 10%, I watched the Sharks the other day against the Oilers, and I thought Michael Mesa was easily the best player on the ice, not just for the Sharks, like in the entire game. Sometimes it takes a little bit for some of these rookies to get going, Pete, but it looks like he has elevated his game. He's getting more ice time. He's impressive at the moment.
He's been moved up to the second line with William Eklund and Tyler Toffoli. He's on power play too, but he's got points in three straight since the break, 4 points in that span, including a power play goal, including a overtime winning goal on Sunday against Connor Hellebuck and the Winnipeg Jets. So that's another one of those games. Like, the Jets are not looking like a playoff team right now. The Sharks beat Edmonton and then beat the Jets over the weekend. So they're certainly staying in the race, couple points out. And Michael Mesa is one of those guys with an extremely high ceiling. You look in keeper and dynasty leagues, who has a better rookie forward trio or young forward trio than Celebrini, Will Smith, and Michael Mesa? I don't know if anybody does in the entire league. So that's where the Sharks are looking at long term.
Pete, I'm looking at the St. Louis Blues and the ripple effects of the transactions that team could make over the next couple days. And Dylan Holloway is a guy that I don't know how he's going to be benefited, but as of late, he's been picking up some points. And it's been a up and down, I think, second season in St. Louis for him so far.
Right. He's shown some nice signs since the Olympic break. Had a 4-point game the other day. Good shot volume, even when he didn't score in the last time out. He will remain like Dvorsky will. They're actually playing on the same line recently, so keep an eye on that, especially if they do trade Robert Thomas and or Jordan Kyrou. And by the way, back to the Islanders. I mean, how awesome would it be if they were able to buy low on one of these 30 plus goal scorers like Jordan Kyrou or Brock Besser to try to put their offense to another gear and their power play finishing ability to another gear. So about what you were talking about earlier, I could see the Islanders getting in on one of those two guys as they go from like rebuild to retool, now contender with Schaefer, Horvat, and company.
Pete, a player a lot of us were very interested in coming into this year was Cole Perfetti. With Nick Ehlers out in Winnipeg, opening up an opportunity. It has not been a good season for him. And you mentioned it earlier, it doesn't look like a playoff season for the Winnipeg Jets, but that doesn't mean we can't find some fantasy value with them down the stretch. Are you seeing some signs of life from that file in Winnipeg?
Definitely for him. The problem is with that second line. I feel like he's going to have to carry that second line. It's not a good unit right now. And then also with the Morrissey injury, they got Stanley on the first power play. But he is also on the first power play, and he's likely to stay there for the rest of the season. So that's a good thing, right? Remember all those years they had Ehlers, and he couldn't crack the first power play. Now Winnipeg's secondary scoring is pretty barren. You have 7 straight games with 3-plus shots for Cole Perfetti, so he's trending in the right direction.
You mentioned the shots. Again, another guy plus money, 3-plus and 7 straight, 4-plus and 4 straight, and yeah, he's starting to cook at the moment. Anything else, Pete, before we wrap up? Maybe on the blue line, I know Hughes' return. He's potentially available in shallow leagues, but anything else there?
Well, you mentioned UPL, 9-2-1 with a 923 save percentage since the general manager change. I mean, crazy this is more than just a little trend here. And he's actually being viewed, right? They came out of the break and they played him over Alex Lyon. I mean, I've been a big Lyon fan and backer in fantasy all year, but maybe they view UPL as having a higher ceiling. We'll see. But at least they do have a very nice goalie tandem heading into the stretch run, where they will have to work for this playoff berth because there are a lot of teams in contention in the East. And then one other guy to shout, Simone Edvinson. I know, Meany, you were mentioning him the other day and his block shots coverage. He's also up to 7 goals this season, tying his career high from last year in 28 fewer games. So impressive jump for Edvinson for the Red Wings this year.
Yeah, Detroit's another team. I think we're all waiting for them to make a big-time move, a substantial move. But I like the UPL show because maybe he's just finally reaching his ceiling. I mean, there's a lot of ups and downs with young goaltenders. I know he's not young anymore, but I like that. I think he's on the upward trajectory. He's got a team in front of him. So very interested by the Buffalo Sabres right now, Pete.
And it goes the same thing as Holloway, right? Banged up before the break. UPL banged up before the break. They had the whole break to rest up. Now they're both looking fresh. And that's a good trend to look at for those non-Olympic players heading into the stretch run.
NHL.com/fantasy, where you can check out the entire list. With the break on the other side, we'll get to On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. Don't go anywhere.
Adnan and Virk here to talk about our great podcast, NHL Unscripted, with Virk and Demers.
Jason Demers here. After playing 700 NHL games, it turns out I have an opinion or two. The only place I'd like to see Sid go is Colorado.
That's really it.
Is there a chance the NHL returns to Arizona someday where you played?
Baby, come back. You could do it all on me. Yes, we're coming back.
Tune in to NHL Unscripted with Verk and Demers on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go! Imagine if the most exciting, unthinkable, iconic NHL moments could be yours. Well, now they can, because NHL Breakaway lets you collect highlights from your favorite players and teams. Collect a moment, relive a memory, and trade history with these officially licensed digital collectibles. Make history yours with NHL Breakaway.
Nick Alberga, Jay Kahn, Chris Meany, Pete Jensen with you on NHL Fantasy on Ice. Listen up, hockey fans. You won't want to miss this. Experience the thrill of NHL betting with Bet365, an official league partner. With Bet365, you can create your own bets, build same-game parlays, and take advantage of early payouts when your team goes up 3 goals. Bet on every exciting moment on the ice, from goals and points to shots and saves. Bet on the NHL with Bet365 and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365, an official betting partner of the NHL. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. Jake, an easy one to toss your way. Give me the over. Philadelphia, Toronto, over, over. The Maple Leafs are finished.
Is that the over on jerseys on the ice or over on goals in the game?
Both.
You might have to specify. I'm actually going to that game. I'll be sitting in the 100 level. I will not throw a jersey on the ice, but I'll keep my eye just in case it gets ugly for the Maple Leafs. It does feel like it could be one of those games. I like to play on the over, you know, a leaky Leafs team. Maybe they can get the offense going at the very least. Meany, what do we do with the coaching bump? It's not an easy one for LA. First game after the coaching change, you get Colorado. At least they're at home. But at home, LA has been horrible this year. It's just they've been so bad at on home ice. Maybe a chance to right the ship. And I look, if you play the coaching bump, if that's an angle you play when it comes to betting, I think you just blindly play it every time, especially when you get plus money. So I'm going to do it just to sprinkle on the Kings tonight and kind of see if they can get hot after the coaching change. I know it's tough against the Avs, though.
It is, but you know it's a trend that we've followed for years. So plus 145 on home ice, it's certainly possible. You want to do a little sprinkle there. Another shout for Laferriere, right? For 3 shots, as he's just been shooting like an animal. Dallas against Vancouver, mismatch, right? The Canucks have allowed the most shots, the most goals. I watched them the other night in Seattle. No urgency at all in their game. Maverick Bork is plus 110 for a point. He's plus 325 for a goal. How about 18-1 for the first goal tonight? Getting an opportunity to play with Wyatt Johnson, Jason Robertson up on that top line. Thomas Harley's plus money for a point. He has points in 5 straight. So I would take a look at Wyatt Johnson, 2 points at plus 210, or Robertson for 2 points at plus 150, and maybe the Stars in the puck line, Nick, at plus 140.
I like that. I was just going to piggyback off the convo about LA, the new coach bump. I would probably play it game two. I don't see that as a really good matchup for most teams, never mind the LA Kings when you got Colorado. Maybe you look at Darcy Kemper and the revenge angle. Sure. Okay. But I've been on a roll with these anytime goals. I'll stick with that. I'll go with the Byfield anytime goal against the Colorado Avalanche, and give me Columbus in regulation, Jake, against the New York Rangers Monday night.
I've also got my eye on the under in the Columbus Rangers game on home ice, 6.5 at the moment right now. I want confirmation on if Igor Shesterkin's going to start this game for the Rangers. If he does, I do like the under because I think the Rangers are going to struggle to score on Columbus. And if Igor does play, I trust him to at least maybe lock it down a little bit, keep it low scoring from a Columbus angle. Zach Werenski, a player I'm certainly looking at in the prop market as well. 4 shots plus money over at Bet365. This is a guy that loves to fire from the back end. So I'll certainly be on that Werenski prop and the under if I can get a confirmation on Igor starting this game.
Yeah, speaking of unders, Carolina and Seattle, you can get 6.5. I think most spots in 365 I'm seeing move to 6. But there's 2 guys in particular on the Hurricanes' second line. I'm interested in them too, guys. Like, we talked about a lot of Western Conference teams. Like, the Hurricanes, this is an great opportunity. It doesn't look like the Panthers are going to make it. You really only have the Lightning that have been, like, unbelievable this year. So go out and get a center. We'll see what they do. But Taylor Hall's got 5 points in his last 2 games. He's plus 130 for a point. Jackson Blake is plus 120 for a point. He has 4 in his last 3. There's correlation there at 365. You want to do a same game parlay, just 2 of those guys, Nick, plus 240 for a point.
Love it. PD props. Let's hear from you, buddy. What do you got to say?
I'll go with 2 different angles of guys you already mentioned. So Zach Werenski, we already know how good he is from a goal scoring standpoint. He's second among defensemen with 20 goals this season. You could get him at plus 300 to score an anytime goal against the Rangers. I like that look. And one note I saw on the Rangers, they only have 2 regulation wins at home all season, which is just insanity. That season needs to end for them pretty soon. Also, Taylor Hall plus 185 for 3+ shots on goal with what he's doing out of the break for the Hurricanes.
Yeah, I hope people don't check the tapes on these podcasts. Maybe you guys do. But my Rangers shout preseason about them potentially being a cup contender, Mike Sullivan, that team is so bad, Jake. I don't know when they're going to get back to that level either.
You know, we get some right, we get some wrong, Nick. So yeah, that one will crumple up, Jake. And you burn the tape on that one. You're only supposed to mention the times that you're right.
Good point.
That's how this is supposed to work. So yeah. No, but that's I'm also going to continue to fade Vegas this week, guys. I know Meany brought them up earlier in the episode. At some point, they probably get it turned around, but I don't think it's Tuesday night or Wednesday night against Buffalo and Detroit. Road back to back for the Vegas Golden Knights coming up here. I like how Buffalo's playing. I should be on them in some fashion in that game, and then Detroit on the second half of that back-to-back could get away from Vegas here if they're not careful this week, Pete.
Mm-hmm. I am a Mike Sullivan apologist, and I was high on him like you, Nick, in the preseason, but I mean, what can he do with this roster? Then he goes to the Olympics and wins gold, so it's not him. They got maybe the right coach. They just don't have the right roster, of course.
Yeah, no, and a story for another day, certainly when you talk about the New York Rangers, guys, but we march forward Thursday. I mean, it's go time for this deadline. It's coming up on Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern time. On Thursday, we'll have a mailbag edition of the podcast. A lot of people have questions, Jake, on what to do with their fantasy rosters. I can't believe we're nearly at the fantasy playoffs. This season has just flown by here.
Get those mailbag questions in. I know it's a very, very important time. Hopefully you're comfy in a playoff spot. If you're not, these are the weeks you got to grind. You may be fighting tooth and nail to either hang on to a spot or jump in to a playoff spot, and then fantasy playoffs. Like I said earlier in the show, this is a really fun week. Nice balanced schedule, lots of hockey every single night, and hopefully we get at least a trade every day to keep you happy there, Nick. I know you love yourself a trade, so hopefully you get at least one per day leading up to the Friday deadline.
Yes, please. Thursday, Week 19 Mailbag Edition. Thank you to producer Bob Bender, for Jay Conn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen. I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice.